Welcome to the Food Revolution Summit, where we explore how you can heal your body and your world with food. This is Ocean Robbins, and I am joined by my dad and colleague, John Robbins, in welcoming our guest today, Russell Simmons. Russell Simmons was recently named by USA Today as one of the top 25 most influential people of the past 25 years for his impact on music, fashion, finance, television, film, and philanthropy. Russell's groundbreaking work has helped to launch the careers of some of the most influential hip-hop artists of our time. He's co-founder of Def Jam Records, the Rush Philanthropic Organization, and the Foundation for Ethnic Understanding. Russell is passionate about harnessing the power of hip-hop culture on behalf of building a healthier and more inclusive world for everyone. He's the author of several best-selling books, and he uses his overwhelming celebrity status to advocate for many causes, including more humane and healthy food. Russell took a leading role in negotiations with KFC that caused them to demand more humane practices from their suppliers. He's also been named a Goodwill Ambassador by the United Nations. So now, Russell, my dad and I are so excited to have this time with you and to welcome you onto this call.
Thank you, Ocean, and thank you, Russell, on behalf of all our listeners for taking time to be with us. You've been a leader in bringing the powerful influence of hip-hop culture to really every facet of business, media, and fashion since its beginnings in the early 70s. Your businesses have been successful, and they've always given voice to emerging new creative and social movements and helped to integrate them into the American psyche. I'd like to talk with you about how you've extended your social activism into the areas of healthy food and the treatment of animals raised for food and the state of the environment. And maybe we could start with the role you played in PETA's efforts to get KFC to treat their chickens a little more humanely. What happened there?
Well, you know, there was an ongoing debate and fight between PETA and KFC or the Yum's brands, and I used my relationships over there, and we promoted a dialogue, and I think that there was some change, a shift. But, you know, whenever you can play a peacemaker, you should, I believe. And so in that case was easy. The other easy work that I like to play a part in is just awareness, you know, because people are, you know, there's so much misinformation out, and there's so little truth regarding the suffering of animals, you know, that's being spread. And so promoting awareness has been my greatest ability. You know, it's very easy for celebrities to use their celebrity to benefit others. And for whatever reason, as a businessman, I've become more popular. I'm almost like a singer, right? I'm pretty well known for a guy who doesn't sing or entertain. So I use my celebrity as best I can to promote ideas that make good sense for humanity. Well, I believe make good sense for humanity. And one of them is, as you know, is the 40 billion animals who suffer every year, part of our food chain, the cause of the greatest global warming, more than all the trains, planes, and automobiles multiplied by two, just the cows. So, you know, using celebrity to promote that idea is very important.
I appreciate that you do. I've often wondered why more celebrities don't use their status, that privilege that they have, being exposed in the public view to help bring about a better world.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody does it when they're ready. But the more people do it, the more they find it to be, you know, comforting for them to give that kind of contribution back. You know, we are born into a cycle of giving. Those who give a lot get a lot, and what we give, we get. You have been a great promoter of truth, and what you're doing now is an inspiration to so many. You're waking up millions of people. Your work, your book is the reason that I changed my diet 15 years ago. Diet for a New America affected me so deeply that I became a vegetarian and then a vegan. And it was your book that sparked the shift in me. What you give becomes your life. And you become a great teacher of truth to many people. And that, for me, it's inspiring. And so I want to do as much as I can to give good and get good. And one of the best things I can do for the planet is to remind people of the suffering we cause and the suffering we receive by eating or supporting an abusive system that abuses animals.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for those kind words about my work, Russell. You've done a lot to provide disadvantaged urban youth with exposure and access to the arts. Most of these young people live in locations where the food that's available to them is of very poor nutritional quality. I don't see how any community can thrive without good food. Do you see anything that can be done to help provide disadvantaged urban youth with easier access to fresh foods and affordable groceries in their neighborhoods?
Well, one of the things we can do is create awareness about the food, thus creating a demand for it. As there's more demand for it, we can, you know, find creative ways to service that demand. Or, you know, all the things I do are kind of commercial. I'm from the hip-hop culture, right? So I'm a mainstream dude. I do things that people can digest. So we have to create a demand. If people want it, believe me, the corporations will make it.
But sometimes we have celebrities doing absolutely the worst thing, and their example of what not to do sometimes creates positive movement. I'm thinking of Michael Vick, who is a famous quarterback. He owned and operated a kennel on his property where dogs, mostly pit bull terriers, were trained and tortured for dogfighting. They were starved, they were beaten, they were drowned, they were hung, they were electrocuted. He served prison time, and he's made many public acts of contrition and done some charity work, and he's had some post-prison glory on the football field. But his reputation was tarnished, and this stain will follow him for the rest of his life. What I'm wondering is, his bad example, do you think has awakened any kind of consciousness in the African-American community in particular about dogfighting and other forms of animal abuse and the ethical issues involved here?
Yeah, I worked very closely with him at that moment. I thought his voice would have been more powerful than locking him up or whatever else they wanted to do to him.
Yeah.
But it was better to use his voice. You know, so I felt strongly that we could have done more with his voice. And he did do a lot of things that we asked him to do, but some of those, you know, things were not really amplified the way they should have or could have, because dogfighting is one of the most inhumane things that people do. You know, I would say overall it was positive, and his work was really positive. He really proved himself to want to contribute to a shift, and it went over pretty well. He wrote a blog for Global Grind the day he went on 60 Minutes, and it was the first response, and he wrote a very heartfelt apology, but even the 60 Minute thing didn't really get his community and his followers to understand fully how much he regretted his actions. You know, it's an ongoing process to try to frame the truth in a way that people can digest it, and then they'll make the proper decisions as how to act.
Do you see any role for the hip hop movement in awakening healthy food consciousness?
Well, I think there's a big role. You know, it's the individuals. You know, when you have the right artists say the right thing at the right time and create a trend, and you know, it doesn't take a lot. It just takes some really popular people to explain it, and then it becomes trendy, and then it becomes in style and in vogue, and then you know, it's a cycle. And after that, it just picks up its own energy. And I'm looking around always for the right people to have the big voice.
Bill Clinton is probably the world's most famous vegan right now, and,
yes,
and probably one of the most unlikely people to be,
yes,
because he used to basically eat whatever. I think he was on a seafood diet. If he saw food, he ate it, you know.
But that's right. He was on that diet, but he also especially was on a McDonald's diet. You know that, right?
Yeah.
He's a big McDonald's eater, man. He ate a lot
of
those burgers.
He was overweight, and he got some very, very serious heart problems as a result.
That's right.
And that's what led him to follow actually
the
advice of some of our other speakers in the summit, and become vegan, with their help. and he's had tremendous results. He's lost the weight he needed to lose, and his blood markers have all improved dramatically, and he's got more energy than he's had in years. He says he feels better than he has in years. And I know that his example speaks to people his age, but I'm really concerned about the younger people, and I'm concerned about people in the inner cities, and they don't have access to healthy food. Their role models often aren't examples of what they should be following.
All role models in our society, in the inner city and outside of the inner city, throughout America, are the ones who are, you know, have gained the most notoriety and are having the greatest influence are not inspiring us to have a better lifestyle or choices, or life choices. They're just not, for the most part. But, you know, again, you have to keep finding the ones that do have that potential and, you know, educating the ones who have it, because today we live in a very celebrity-oriented society, and more than we ever have. So we have to figure out ways to not only process food either, obviously, but we have to find things that are cool. Our taste palates have changed. You know, these guys have been trained to eat Twinkies or whatever
it's
it is.
It's true. We,
you know,
we
you
sell,
can't get them, you know.
Over 1 million pounds of Twinkies are purchased and eaten every day in this country.
1 million pounds of Twinkies are purchased and eaten every day. That's,
yeah.
That's something I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, you know,
but you don't have to eat the Twinkie. You can just hold on to this for 10 years, like I Am Legend.
It'll still look exactly the same in 10 years.
I know, it's crazy.
I'm thinking about West Oakland, which is an inner city community that's predominantly African American and Latino. There's about 25,000 people there. And they collectively spend about $60 million on food, but there's not a single full service grocery store in the whole area. And what happens then is that the residents tend to shop at corner stores that carry mostly processed and very poor quality foods that are sold at pretty high prices. And they get ripped off in every way. As a result, there's higher rates of all kinds of diet-related chronic diseases in West Oakland. The rates of obesity and of diabetes are 3 times the national average there. And I see that, and I see efforts. There's something called People's Community Market that's a new business there, trying to bring healthy food choices, make them available in that community, and support West Oakland families in becoming healthier and living more socially connected lives. It's kind of a community center and a healthy food center. This is the kind of thing that when I see it, I applaud, and I'm wondering how we get some hip-hop artist or pop artist or somebody who's got, you know, major celebrity status in that community to get behind it.
We got to keep our head down, look for those community leaders and educate them. That's a long process, but we have to continue to do it. You've been an activist for a long time, and you've been educating people for a long time. We do our best. We continue. The idea of eradicating poverty or ending, you know, a bad food epidemic that's is not so attainable in the near future, but we should still make best efforts to use what resources we have to promote what we think is right or to change what we think is wrong. So it's an ongoing process. I keep talking about it. I write blogs about it. I promote it on my websites. I talk about it on TV. I'm Peter's Man of the Year, and I talk about why constantly. I do what I can. So
well,
that's all we can do.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you for doing all that you can, and I think in so doing you inspire a lot of people to do what they can. And as each of us, my belief is, as each of us does what we can, what we can gets bigger. It enlarges. It becomes more alive. And we become capable of something as we link together with each other and start to work cooperatively that's even bigger yet.
All right. Well, let's talk soon. Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Russell Simmons, the co-founder of Def Jam Records and the Foundation for Ethnic Understanding and one of the most influential figures of our time. And Russell, we want to thank you for your compassion and your commitment. It's been an honor to speak with you today and to share your message with our listeners.